We're here with Dirk Verbruggen of the band Soilwork, drummer from Soilwork. And Dirk, talk about the new album you have out called The Panic Broadcast. And then you got Peter Vickers back in the band as well. And talk about who produced the new record and just talk about the album itself.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it started, you know, when we were ending up like the touring cycle for the previous album. Peter rejoined the band. We had another lineup change too, because Sylvain, who I've actually played with in Scar since 95, also joined the band. So we had a whole new, you know, guitar duo there. Finished a couple of tours for the previous record, and then, you know, then we started work on the Panic Broadcast. And basically, like, our whole idea with this album was to just have no boundaries, to just let inspiration do the talking, write stuff, see what we could come up with, and you know, and just work our hardest on that. Peter was out of the band for about, I'm going to say, 3.5 years approximately, and during that time he did a lot of producing. He produced the latest Nevermore album. He produced Oral Bane's solo record and a whole bunch of other things. And so he pretty much upped his skills with all that. And so when it came time to do our record, it was really pretty much a natural choice for us to have Peter produce it. And we also flew in Jens Bogren from Sweden, who's produced bands like Paradise Lost and Opeth and Catatonia and Bloodbath and whatnot. And he helped with the drum recordings, and he also did the mix. And, you know, we pretty much wanted to have a nice atmosphere that was, like, stimulating our creativity. So we rented out a house in North Carolina, set everything up in there. And, you know, besides drums that were done in an actual studio, all the rest was just recorded with our own Pro Tools rigs. And, you know, just in a big house by a lake, you know, really nice atmosphere. It was middle of the winter, but it was still a very good, you know, creative place. We had, like, different rooms with Pro Tools rigs set up, so everybody could pretty much, you know, work at their leisure. And, and you know, yeah, that's pretty much how the album came together.
Sylvian also plays in the band Scarve, which is a death metal band you've been in for quite some time.
Yeah, Scarve, which is my first band, actually, that I started that band in 93, and Sylvain's been with us since 95. So, you know, I've pretty much known him since 93, so yeah, he's really a longtime friend, and I'm really stoked to play with him again in Soilwork, you know.
Dirk, how did it come about for you to join Soilwork? And, you know, tell us how you got the audition, and talk about how you ended up joining the band.
Well, it was early 2004, and I got a call all of a sudden from Peter, and, you know, he basically told me, hey, I got your number through Lauren from Listable Records, who was the Scarves label and who was also Soilwork's label in the early days of the band, so, you know, they still were in touch, and he said, yeah, Lauren gave me your number, and, you know, we love the Scarf stuff, and we actually were looking for a drummer to do our upcoming European tour. Would you be interested in stuff? And, of course, you know, I probably said yes within the next millisecond, you know. And then, you know, I did that tour with them, and then, you know, I ended up doing another tour with them, ended up doing Stabbing the Drama, and you know, things went from there. And, I mean, they pretty much asked me to join the band kind of early on, but Scarve had a lot of stuff going on at the time. We had just released our third album, Irradiant, and it was having, like, a lot of, you know, critical acclaim, and we were doing quite a bit of shows and festivals and some small tours. And so, you know, I just kind of took a while to you know, decide what I wanted to do. But then in 2005, I decided to join Soilwork, and, you know, I've been pretty much touring with the band ever since, you know.
Now, you've done quite a bit of session work over the years, and the one thing I was interested in is you sang with a band that I really, really like quite a bit, but hasn't really gotten a lot of attention over here, and that's the band Cybreed. You sang, not sang, I mean, but you played drums on your second album entitled Antares, and, you know, talk about how you ended up working with them and what it was like working with them.
That was awesome. I had known Drop because we had done a tour with Scarve where he was also playing with his old band Rain. And, you know, he started out super young. Like, I remember hearing the Rain stuff when he was, like, 15 or something, and the guitar playing was just amazing. So, you know, I had already heard about him before I met him. And then, you know, a few years later, we kind of stayed in touch every now and then. And he just, same thing, you know, just gave me a call and said, hey, you know, our drummer just left. We have an album recording scheduled. Would you be interested? So, you know, that's how I ended up doing that. But, I mean, I'm really happy with how that record turned out. You know, that was a lot of fun to work with those guys. I flew over to Switzerland and and just did like, I think it was like 4 days in the studio to record that one. And yeah, it was great, man. It was a blast.
Dirk, were you surprised that this album ended up in the top 100, the Billboard top 100? It ended up at 88. And for a band like you guys, were you shocked by this at all?
No, not at all. You know, I mean, we're super stoked about this record, you know, but you know, we're really proud of it and we're really happy with how it turned out. But you never really know, you know, how it's going to go across with the fans. And especially, you know, we've been around for a bit. It's our eighth record. You know, people have certain expectations. So, you know, we're kind of like, you know, expecting anything, you know. So when we heard that it was number 88 in the Billboard, and also, like, it charted in Japan and in Europe, you know, been just selling really well everywhere, we were, like, amazed. And you know, we're like, well, you know, it's a really a quality album to us, so, you know, it makes sense. But, I mean, the market's been going down a lot, and, you know, there's so many new bands out there, and just to see that kids are still, you know, listening to us and into our stuff, that's really awesome. So, yeah. You know, definitely not expected.
Now, Soilwork has been on Nuclear Blast for quite some time, and they seem to be working out pretty well for you. Especially nowadays, a lot of labels don't seem to be very strong, but from the outside looking in, Nuclear Blast seems to be doing very well and staying pretty strong. And, you know, how do you like being on that label, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think they, you know, they used to be this really little underground label, and they built themselves up to be a big structure, and, you know, I'm not going to say that they're flawless, because I think, you know, a band and a label always have kind of a relationship where, you know, there's going to be some issues and there's going to be things that you need to push for. And you know, a lot of times that's what a manager does for a band. You know, that's going to be the link between the band and the label. And the manager can get yelled at and he can get angry at the label so he can get things done, you know, that because you know how it is with a label. It's usually they're understaffed. They have too many bands. You know, a label like Nuclear Blast has like a million bands. So
yeah.
In order to make sure that you get your stuff done, sometimes you have to kind of push things. And you know, that's what we do, you know. But at the same time, they've definitely, you know, supported Soilwork throughout the years. They've done a lot for us. And, you know, they allow us to, you know, to get our album out pretty much everywhere and to be on tour in different places and stuff. So I think it's definitely worked out. And you know, we built up a good relationship with them over the years. And we kind of know how they work. They kind of know us. So, you know, it's kind of a confidence thing at that point. You know what I mean?
Dirk, is there any type of concept or loose concept involved as far as the album is concerned, the Panic broadcast?
Pretty much our singer's, Bjorn's, you know, personal experiences over the past 2 years. You know, he's had a couple of really rough years in his personal life. And I think pretty much for most of Soilwork's lyrics, it's pretty much all inspired from his own life, you know. So it's metaphorical and everything, but when it comes to the Panic part, he's definitely experienced some issues with that, you know. And I think, you know, it's a pretty extreme form of anxiety that people suffer from. But it's not really something that's well known, you know. I actually did some research on it, and you know, I found out that it's way more severe than what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people really suffer from that stuff. So, you know, he pretty much used, I think, this album and these songs as a way for him to you know, put these emotions out there and kind of deal with them, you know, because that's what he does with the band. And so, you know, we felt that it's kind of nice to have this concept that's related to a real thing out there. You know, maybe some people will be, you know, looking up how panic attacks work and understand them better. And, you know, I think it's a good thing, you know. Like, Soilwork has never been, like, you know, a fantasy band or something like that. We've always been kind of close to real topics, you know what I mean, without being, like, political necessarily, but, you know, things from real life.
So how's the tour been going for you so far this year?
Oh, it's been going great. I mean, we, you know, it's kind of the same thing as with the album being in the charts. You know, we didn't really know what to expect with the new songs. And you know, the album came out one day before the tour began. And a few days into the tour, people were chanting the lyrics to the songs and stuff. And we were just blown away. So, you know, it's a great package. We have Death Angel with us, who are awesome. You know, we have a lot of, you know, younger bands like Mutiny Within and Augury and Swashbuckle that are also really cool. And you know, it's just a great time. You know, we're really stoked to be playing some new material because, you know, of course, we play a lot of the same songs over and over, so to have a bunch of new songs in the set is just exciting for us, you know. And we're so proud of this record, so to see that people are really latching onto it is great, you know. So we can't wait for all the other tours that are coming up.
One of the things I found interesting, we were talking earlier, before the interview, was that you're from Cleveland, or at least you live in Cleveland now. And, you know, talk about moving to Cleveland. Why did you move here? And how have you liked living here for, say, the past 2 or 3 years now?
I love it, man. I mean, you know, I moved over there because my wife is from there. And so, you know, it kind of made sense because, you know, with what I do, it doesn't really matter that much where I live. I kind of consider myself living all over the place anyway because, you know, I'm traveling a lot and, you know, I'll spend time here and there. But I like Cleveland a lot. I think it's a very underrated city. And, you know, of course, you know, like I always tell my wife, you know, when you have competition of cities like New York and L.A., it's maybe understandable that, you know, okay, that, sorry about that, that Cleveland is, you know, not the highest regarded city in the U.S., you know, but at the same time, I think it has a lot to offer, and I love the climate there. I love seasons, so, you know, I have no issue with the strong winters, and, I mean, summer is nice, you know, a lot of greenery, a lot of wildlife, I love that, so.
This album seems a lot heavier, plus it seems a lot more melodic this time around as far as soil work, especially compared to the last one. And, you know, was this the approach you guys took to the album, or when you went in to write the songs, it just kind of came out like that?
It just happened, you know. I think that, like I said, you know, our whole idea was to just let the inspiration guide us, you know, and so we didn't really sit down and say we want to do this or that. The only thing we decided was to not consciously try to do anything, so we weren't going to be like, you know, oh, let's make the songs not too long or not too short or this or that. We just kind of wrote, and that's what happened. And I think it's, you know, it's pretty much like all the influences that we've had over the years coming together, you know, and then also, you know, Sylvain coming into the band, who has his very own writing style. He wrote several songs and riffs and stuff for the record, and I think that added something new as well. So, you know, to me, like, I like albums that have a lot of different angles and that are kind of like a roller coaster ride. And I think the Panic Broadcast is one of those albums that, you know, you can listen to and it doesn't get boring, you know. Like, the songs aren't samey, like, there's always something new happening and, you know. But that's really just how it turned out, you know. We had no idea when we went into it how it was going to be, you know. We had some demos and things, but, you know, it really just kind of turned out that way.
I found it interesting that you're playing Australia, and you don't see a lot of metal bands go down there and play. And what's the metal scene like down there? And, you know, have you been down there before, and what's it like down there?
Yeah, that's going to be the fourth time, I think. I didn't do the first tour they did there, but I did the two more recent ones. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's a good market for us. I think they, you know, they don't necessarily have a ton of tours over there. But, you know, it's always great to play there because since they don't have necessarily that many bands that can make it over there, you know, the shows are usually packed and, you know, of course the climate's fantastic. It's a really beautiful country, so, yeah, we love playing there.
Dirk, the music industry has taken quite a hit over the past 10 years, and it's really gone on a decline. And, you know, number one, what do you think the cause of this is? Do you think it's the economy? Do you think it's the illegal downloading? And where do you see the music business, say, I would say, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years?
I mean, I think it's a combination of different things, you know. Obviously, there's the recession, but, I mean, the music market was already declining before that really hit. So mm-hmm. I think definitely the fact that the Internet came up and that, you know, a lot of labels and especially bigger labels are kind of like, you know, they're kind of like these big machines that are slow to adapt to new stuff a lot of times, you know, because they're kind of set in their ways of how they do things. And so when something completely new all of a sudden comes up and all of a sudden people can just find their music anywhere for free, you know, they don't really know how to handle that, and there hasn't really been a standard set about how to handle that. So I think it's kind of all that, but then at the same time, you know, when I was growing up and probably when you were growing up, you know, there was tape trading. I mean, there was always ways to get your music without paying for it. So I don't really think that, you know, the fact that now it's on a laptop and back then it was on an audio tape makes, like, all the difference, you know. It's certainly part of it, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I think changes are needed. I think, you know, here in the U.S., CDs are decently priced, but in Europe and other countries, they're extremely overpriced. Like, I don't know if you know this, but in Europe, you know, a CD costs, like, more than double what it costs in the U.S. usually.
Yeah, I've noticed.
It's retarded.
I've noticed that. I've really noticed that, actually.
It's ridiculous, you know. I mean, who wants to pay like a CD, you know, like $25 or $30, unless it's like some crazy, you know, digipack with three albums in it or whatever, you know. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. So I think it's just, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, profit that they made over the years that they got used to, which wasn't really, you know, legit to me. And so the fact that it's kind of falling down, I think it's kind of cool. And you know, I'm kind of all for it actually. And I think that, you know, artists nowadays like us, you know, and a lot of other bands, we need to be open-minded and kind of look to the new, you know, the new things that are out there to promote ourselves and to get our music out there. I mean, we're very attentive to that, and you know, there may be big changes, you know, in the near future when it comes to like music distribution and things like that. So we're definitely paying attention to that.
Nowadays, it seems that record labels are less and less relevant and aren't needed quite as much as, say, they were years and years ago, because, you know, recording's cheaper and bands have become more self-sufficient. They can put albums out by themselves without the support of a label. And do you see that as a future? I mean, for example, Soilwork can produce their own albums because you got Peter Vickers, who's an outstanding producer. And do you see that as maybe possibly the future of the music business, say, you know, down the road here?
I think so, you know. I mean, it's really hard to predict, like, you know, what the masses are going to do. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with how people get their media in their house, you know, and that's all kind of still evolving, you know. I'm still kind of expecting there to be this kind of machine that comes up that's basically a combination of TV, computer, gaming console, everything all in one, you know, and you'll get everything on there. I think that's going to happen, like, really soon. But, you know, it's kind of already there with, like, the you know, PS3 and Xbox and stuff, but it still needs to grow, you know. But it's kind of like, it's like with the iPod, you know. Nowadays, kids, instead of listening to entire albums, they, like, download a song here and download a song there. So a lot of kids, they discover music in a really different way, whereas when I grew up, it was like, oh, you buy a vinyl, and then, like, you have this one album or two albums, and you're all stoked, and you listen to the whole thing until you like the whole thing, you know.
Yep.
And it's like,
or the old white cassette tape.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a very different approach, and so it's really hard to predict exactly what's going to happen. But I do think that, you know, the fact that, like, recording equipment and all that stuff is now much more attainable. You know, like, you can pretty much record yourself, save maybe for a big fat drum sound. You know, that's maybe not that easy to have yet, unless you go to a studio. But a lot of the other stuff you can do yourself. So, so you know, that's what we did for the Panic broadcast in a way too. You know, we used our own gear. Of course, gear knows how to produce, but I mean, a lot. You don't need to be, like, you know, a big name producer to be able to record good guitars and vocals and stuff. So, I think that, you know, it's just a big change, you know, that's happening right now, and you know, I'm just very curious to see what's up next.
Now, what do you have planned after the fall? Are you going to be doing more shows? Are you going to be recording another record, writing some songs? And, you know, as for our last question here, you know, talk about what is in store for Soilwork. What's going on with you guys?
We're definitely going to do a lot more shows before we go back to the studio. We're going to Europe. That's just being confirmed in the end of the year, shortly before the holidays, do a tour with All That Remains and Caliban over there. Then we're probably going to come back to the U.S. In the spring of next year. Then we're going to probably go to South America and also do a bunch of European festivals in the summer. So, you know, by the time that's all done, then we'll see what's up, you know. But I think we're going to be touring on this record for as long as we can, because, you know, we just, you know, we really believe in it, and we really want to play those songs for people. And, you know, I know that, like, the previous record hasn't been the most well-received Soilwork album, so we kind of need to go out there and convince people again that we're still here, you know, we still have something to say.